Good Friday is often a day of somber reflection. But actually today I want us to have a slightly different approach to what we're going to be looking at today. Still within a mood of somberness, still within a mood of understanding that on this day, those who were following Jesus felt the pain of loss. But as we work through our series looking at in real life, we've been looking at different characters of Jesus or different titles of Jesus. We've looked at Jesus as Messiah. We've looked at Jesus as King. And so today we look at Jesus as Savior. What does it mean for Jesus to be our Savior? What does Him saving us by us? So today we will focus on the reason for His death and what it brings us. And then we invite you to come back on Sunday as we look at the so what. So what does that mean for you? What does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? So I want to start by looking at the cycle of life. What does our life look like? If we're going to talk about real life, then let's talk about what life looks like. At least this is what the world tells us that life looks like. In many ways, our world aims to help us to achieve. The goal is to achieve, to do something, to be somewhere, to be someone. To get better things, we need to achieve them. We need to work hard to get there. So if you think about things, you need it. The world says, think positively. If you just think positively enough, everything will be okay. If you just think positively, good things will come to you. If you just work hard, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you don't work hard enough. Has anyone ever here heard that? Yeah, but you just don't work hard enough. You need to work harder. If you do these things, you can achieve anything. And so we have a world filled with people who are thinking positively and working harder and wondering why it's just not answering the problems inside of. But it doesn't end there. The circle of life goes on. Now, this is not, you know, birth and then death later on. This is the next step. So what happens is if you actually manage to achieve, or if you don't manage to achieve, the next step is to find your identity. Who do you identify as? See, our sense of significance is often dependent upon what we achieve. So if we're achieving something, we feel good about ourselves. And if we're in a season in our life where actually everything seems to be stripped away from us, then our identity is that of a failure. It's all based on what we can do, what we can do, what we can achieve. Have we worked hard enough? Have we done enough things? And that's what gives us our sense of identity. All you have to do is look at three kinds of people to see just how this works out. Firstly, take athletes. When athletes are famous, when they're at the peak of their powers, they can't walk down the street with someone noticing them. They walk tall, they walk proud, they walk with great purpose and a sense of, I have it all together. And then they retire because they get old and they can no longer achieve in the way that they could achieve when they were younger. And all of a sudden they get talked about as past champions. Maybe they start going to the shops and no one recognizes them because they're not that shiny toy on the shelf like the new young guy that's come up through the draft. And many, many athletes talk about when they stop achieving in their field, they lose their identity. Retirees, it's a tale as old as time. They will work really hard, they get told, work hard, save hard, build a nest egg, get your super, get sorted, get to that stage, and then live the rest of your life in happiness. What happens? Lots of people retire and then talk about the pain that they feel inside where they don't have a sense of purpose. In fact, one of a condition, which is a really unfortunate one, there are a number of people who get to retirement, stop working, and within a few years actually pass away. Because their identity was tied to their work, which was tied to their achievement. And then the last one, which is a really unfortunate one, is you look at criminals. Now, this is not the case for all criminals, but in many cases, some people who are in the cycle of crime are there because it gives them a sense of identity. They actually know that what they're doing is not right. But at least in doing it, they have an identity. And so they get into this cycle. Maybe it's because of family background. Maybe it's just because of circumstances. But many people get locked into a cycle of crime because, well, at least they have an identity. And so that is where many people sit. So this leads us to a place of drivenness. Well, I don't want to not have a sense of purpose, so I'm going to work hard, I'm going to think positively, and we work and we work and we work and we do all these things and we try and get better and we try and present ourselves as best as we can and we try and do all these things. And where does that leave us? This often leads to burnout. It leads to family breakdown. It leads to a sense of failure. If I'm not working enough, if I'm not achieving enough, if I'm not doing enough, if I can't save myself, then these things are often the outcome. And so what happens is to have a sense of acceptance, we need to do all these things. We need to achieve something to gain ourselves an identity. Once we've gained ourselves an identity, we're driven to keep that going so that we can get a sense of acceptance. Yes, I've made it. I'm there. I'm who I'm meant to be. I am at the place where I'm meant to be. But the problem with this is temporary and fragile. Because this acceptance that the world seems to offer, this acceptance that we try and find, only exists as long as we sit in this circle, as long as we're achieving, as long as we have that identity that we had, as long as we're driven, as long as we're going somewhere, then we will have an identity. There's another name for this cycle. This is the cycle of grief. And this is the cycle that the world in many ways has convinced us we need to live. And this is even the cycle the world convinces us is what will lead to our salvation. As we come to Good Friday and we recognize what Jesus did on the cross, I just want to start by just sort of sitting in this moment and recognizing that in many ways, this is how many people are living to try and find Jesus. They're trying to achieve for him. They're trying to do good things for him. And they're good things. And their identity is not actually in Christ. It's in their achievements for him. So they're driven to do more and more, but then they find that the acceptance only comes as long as they are doing good works. Doing good works, you're great. Not doing good works, are you sure that you're saved? And this is the world that many people are living in today. But I have some good news, because the question is there another way? Well, this is what Good Friday speaks to. The reason, the purpose why Good Friday is good is that Jesus has made a way that does not have to be your life. That does not have to be anyone's life. We find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, that's the cycle of grief, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And it's a hard thing to actually sit and acknowledge this, but we need to. The reality is, there is no one righteous, not one. As we come to Good Friday, we are reminded that actually the death that Jesus died is the death that we should have died. That we were deserving of that place. But in his goodness, he took our place. Because it goes on to say, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And I say that again. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. One of the acronyms that's used, and some people have a bit of a love relationship, some people go, oh, not there. It's GRACE. GRACE simply stands for this: God's riches at Christ's expense. What do we remember on Good Friday? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. The only way we have grace, the only reason grace is on offer, the only reason there is another way to live is because Jesus gave his life in place of us and took on the death that we should have died so that we might live the life that he called us to, the real life. One out of grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. You didn't earn this. This is not something that you achieved. This is not something that you were driven to. You didn't think you were positively to this. You didn't work hard enough to get this. It is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works. And I think we actually sometimes miss this last bit, but it's very true. So that no one can boast. It has nothing to do with us. It's not because we were special. It's not because I'm better than anyone else or you're better than anyone else. It's simply by the grace of God that he did this for us. Salvation is by grace through faith, as a gift. As a gift. See, real life, and as we've been going through this, we've got little sentences that are building one on the other. Real life is unlocked by grace, not by works. It's by grace, not by works. So there's another cycle, and I want to walk us through that cycle. This is what Good Friday brings. It brings the capacity for the cycle of grace. And the cycle of grace has some similar elements, but it's wholeheartedly different to the cycle of grief. So this is where the cycle of grace begins. And if you're someone who maybe you've been on this journey for a while and you follow Jesus, you call yourself a Christian, but you still seem to keep finding yourself on that cycle of grief. You still just can't quite let go of the realities that you feel you need to do something for God. Can I draw your attention very, very importantly and closely to this first point? The cycle of grace starts with acceptance. The very first part of the cycle of grace is that you are offered this grace, no strings attached, nothing required. You just need to give your life to Jesus, ask for his forgiveness. By faith, you will receive. And there are no exceptions to this. This is another thing that is a real struggle. Maybe it's you, maybe this is your struggle. This is a struggle for people that are exploring faith. Because there are no exceptions to who can receive grace. The best of the best and the worst of the worst are equal in the eyes of grace. And it can be a hard wrestle because you might know some people in your life. You might have some things in your past. You might have some things in the background. And it's really hard to wrestle with, but how do they get saved? You might not voice that terribly often, but here's the thing. There can be no exceptions. Because as soon as there's an exception, there's a work. And as soon as there's a work, there is something required of us. There's a bar that we have to reach. There's something that we have to achieve. And we're right back on to the cycle of grief. The cycle of grace commences with wholehearted, fully fledged acceptance and forgiveness based on your faith in Christ. And so this leads to a place of sustenance that God provides for us as we depend on Him. And sometimes this sustenance is He provides us a way. He provides us a job. He provides us things that we can do. He provides us opportunities that we can sustain ourselves. But there are also times and seasons in our life where this sustenance looks different. See, because the world often says to us, you've got to go this alone. You've got to solve your problems. You've got to fix things. No one's going to come and pick you up. But the cycle of grace says this. We are a people. We will sustain one another. And so there will be times and there will be seasons in your life where you've actually got to get off the cycle of grief and choose to accept the sustenance that comes from the one another's of Christ. That all who follow Him have an opportunity in and through His people to have what we need. Not everything we want, not everything we dream, not everything we desire. And so we as a people, we come around those who need that help, who need that support, who need that structure. This might be in their personal life. This might be in their home life. This might be, literally their everyday needs. And it's offered again, no strings attached. You don't need to be a good enough person to get this sustenance. This comes from grace. And so out of this comes our identity. Our identity comes from our new life in Jesus, not our ability to achieve, not our ability to save ourselves, not our ability to do anything. It's entirely an identity based in Christ, bought by grace. What's the greatest challenge about this portion of following Jesus? Our pride. Because there's a little part of many of us, I won't speak for all of us, you'll need to think for yourself if this is true of you. I'll put my hand up and say it is true of me. I want to achieve a little bit of my own identity. I kind of want to be able to boast every now and then. I kind of want to be able to say that I did this. But as soon as I do that, I try and put myself straight back onto that cycle of grief. Because then it only lasts as long as I achieve those. And that's a very lonely place very quickly. The best identity we can have is the one that is offered freely in Christ, living His life in His way. And so out of this, the last step of the cycle of grace is service. You see, we still achieve. We still do things. We still go places. We're still called to something. But it's not achievement, it's service. It's from a place of gratitude. Because we are so grateful for just what Jesus did for us on the cross. That we are so grateful for what He did to make a way for us to live for Him. That in His death, He died the death we should have, so that we may live a life of service for Him. And so what we achieve is not actually for us, but it's for His glory and for His kingdom. What we achieve actually comes back to us through the grace that is given to us. And so as we serve, we go back to recognizing I'm accepted. It's not because I did anything special. And we live the cycle of grace. What is so good about Good Friday? You can get off the treadmill. And I mean that. I genuinely mean that if you today, you might be coming here today and you just thought you're coming for a nice, somber, quiet service to reflect on Jesus. But actually, when you think about it, you are living on the treadmill of the cycle of grief. The whole point of Good Friday, Jesus dying for us, is that there would be another way. So what does this mean for us? How do we then live in this? But wait, there's more. Come back on Sunday for part two. As we celebrate the fullness of just what Easter means for us. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we do sit in the somberness of today to realize just what your death has brought us. To see the grace that is on offer for us. Help us to see where we live out the cycle of grief and instead choose to live the cycle of grace. We look forward to Sunday coming back and celebrating once more all that you did through your death, but so much more even through your resurrection. We thank you in Jesus' name.